Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello, Rebecca.
And Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Heather, did you do all your cooking you needed to do?
Yeah, we hosted Friendsgiving for my son and 10 of his, or 8, I don't know, teenagers.
I mean, after 3, it doesn't matter the number.
It doesn't. And there's a lot of girls. And so there was like so much giggling and just Justin's like, you know, it's probably a good thing we have boys.
How much bourbon did Justin drink?
None. I mean, like, it feels weird to drink when you have other people's children in your house.
Okay.
It was good.
Oh, yeah. I shouldn't do that?
I still would do it.
I don't understand these words you're saying, Heather. They sound wrong.
I probably am the one who's like, we have other people's children in our care. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know.
I mean, if they don't know what I do in my spare time when I'm home by myself, then like those kids don't need to be in my house.
My thought is if they are old enough to drive, or if they're old enough to put on their own clothes and wipe their bottoms, I am fine to drink.
Perfect. I getcha. It is also, we have to go back to work tomorrow.
Well, that's.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's not
I mean,
awesome.
I do too, but I don't have to teach small children.
So did everybody have a good holiday weekend? Happy December. Happy December, Stacey. We are here December 1st, 2024, the last month of the year. I remember a couple months ago, Jenny was fussing at me because I was asking for ideas for episodes for November, December. And she's like, that's months away. I can't even think that far. And I'm like, well, we're going to get there sooner than you think. And guess what? We're here.
Did October seem like, I mean, granted, we went through November already, but like October and November, they felt like they flew by.
Yes.
Like all of a sudden, it's freaking December.
My problem is it went from 70 degrees 2 weeks ago to 22 to degrees.
So my parents were driving up to New York on Friday.
Were they on I-90?
They got stuck on 90. It took them 12 hours to drive.
From Cleveland?
They were
into New York.
Going to a not happy place in New York.
Oh, for the funeral for your uncle, right?
For the funeral. They were going to the funeral for my uncle. And it took them 12 hours to get up there.
Oof.
My mom was like, she was telling, because we did Thanksgiving with my side of the family tonight. So my mom was telling me, she's like, yeah, at one point, because my brother went with them. So my dad and my brother were in the front seat. And she's like, at one point I looked up and all you could see was white. But she did say the upside is, and even my brother said, he's like, nobody was passing anybody, so you know it was bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there's still, between Erie and Cleveland, there's still sections that are shut down that people, you can't move.
Because it's still snowy.
Yeah. Good old lake effect.
Yeah, it's been a long couple of weeks for the families in this neck of the woods.
I feel this. I feel this to my toes. You know, Stacey says the late Thanksgiving being at the, like, yes. So late that there's no November dates pretty much after Thanksgiving.
Because it was like Thanksgiving then, like, hello, December.
Yeah.
Also,
it was really weird this year.
I just realized Hanukkah starts the night of Christmas. At sundown at Christmas starts Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Hanukkah is very late this year also.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like all the, everything's like mashed together this year. And have you guys seen like the things on social media where 2025 is coming in with WTF because it starts on Wednesday?
I mean,
so the first, the second, and third are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
That is not surprising.
But do you know, I feel like December's starting WTF, and it started on a Sunday.
I know, but I feel like it's very fitting that 2025 is starting on WTF.
So I'm going to introduce our episode, but then we're going to talk about some things that are happening, because one of the topics in this episode has to do with what we're going to see coming in 2025. But I would just like to warn all the listeners, I'm a little fired up tonight.
Becky's coming in hot.
Coming in hot. Oh,
understatement.
I mean, she's always coming in hot, but tonight is like extra
spicy. I'm on fire. Spicy. Okay. So On this episode, as the year wraps up, we're taking a moment to look back at the amazing romance authors we discovered in 2024, those new-to-us gems who wowed us with their stories. We also are going to dive into what we're anticipating for 2025, trends, tropes, and maybe authors we think will make waves in the romance genre. Whether you're looking to find your next favorite author or you want to know what's coming in romance, this episode is for you. Also, if you love us with a side of chaos, this is 1,000% your episode tonight.
A side of chaos?
A side of chaos tonight. Okay, so I want to talk about, though, some things that developed over the weekend, and then we're going to get into our new-to-us authors. So it was taken to Threads, which is my new favorite place to lurk and watch all the chaos. It used to be BookTok, but I have theories on BookTok, you guys. I don't think it's dying. I don't think it's dying. I don't think it's dying, but I don't think influencers can continue to do what they're doing. I think many authors, marketing, and PR people are backing away from them because I have noticed an upsurge in engagement on Instagram for us and over on Threads. And I think that these list makers.
I think too many people got caught.
Well, and we had all these list makers happening over on BookTok. Like everything was about, you know, this author did bad or this author does this or this author did that. Yeah. And I think some people are just backing away. As a reader, I do not get as many wrecks. I do not fall prey to as many of the hooks as I used to. It's rare that
honestly,
I find a
like,
BookTok
I
book.
Get into the Tiki Talks when they show like a page, like a screenshot with highlights. That's what gets me. Like when it's a screenshotted Kindle page on like the screen. Yeah. And so then I download the book and then search for that like page because I'm a psycho like that, as we have all learned.
You are a psycho.
But that's where I get my Tiki Talks from.
Yeah, but people like do that on else. Instagram too, though. So
they do.
Well, and the reels get me. Yeah. It's when I start to doom scroll.
No, I think that's fair. I think many of us, but I do think that, you know, the person sitting there talking passionately about a book or about an author or finding a series isn't there anymore. Mm-mm. You go over there and you get so many hauls or PR hauls or everything feels bought and paid for. It doesn't feel like that genuine discovery of a new book or a new author.
It's that. Yeah. It's not genuine. When they talk about books on BookTok, I feel like it isn't genuine. Like most of the time people are talking and I'm like, I don't even think you've read this book.
I don't think they have either. It's talking points.
Well, and it's like they don't even talk about the book. They talk about like how pretty the pages are or things like that. It's like you can talk about how pretty the pages are, but if you're not going to actually give me any like substance about like what the book is even about, like you can't even like read a portion of the blurb for me. Like if you're not going to read the book, like is there something in the blurb that like calls to you that like makes you want to read that book? Like it's not even that.
Mm-hmm. I do think that kind of like what you said, the screenshots, I think authors will continue to have viral moments in 2025. Mm-hmm. You know, authors can show you exactly when a book caught people's views and their page reads go up on Kindle or their sales go up. And I think that that is still there. I am not going to sit here and say BookTok is dead. I just don't think it has the power in the reading community that it had 2 years ago.
I think that we'll see a resurrection eventually with it, but there's going to be like an overhaul in the way that it
has
happens.
To be done.
Yeah.
So as I said, I was on Threads, and one of the things that was happening on TikTok, and we can blame Erin Nicholas for getting me all fired up. Okay, you
Thanks,
guys,
Erin.
If you have listened to this podcast at all, I have waxed poetry at my love of category romance.
Yeah.
I have talked at nauseam about how much those red books, those red titles meant to me as a new reader, as a young reader, especially in a day and age when publishing took forever to get a new book out in paperback.
I mean, my gateway was category romance.
Yeah. I love category romance. There was a series called The Montana Mavericks that had multi-authors writing in it, and it wrote about this small town. And like, my love of cowboys can be pinpointed to The Montana Mavericks, and that series started in 1994. And it still exists. I don't know if they're writing about the same town, but I'm in it.
Yeah.
Brenda Jackson, who wrote The Westmoreland Family, which was a black family of sheep farmers in Colorado, and then they kind of just spread out, and they have family in Alaska and LA and billionaires. Do you know how in love I was with the Westmoreland family? Like, I wanted to move to Colorado and find myself a sheep farmer. I am not a farm girl, people. I am not. But in 2000, I was moving to Colorado and finding myself a sheep farmer. That's how much I love Brenda
Jackson. Takes a special person to love a sheep farmer.
Right?
For sure. Right?
So there was a girl who wasn't very smart, who made a video. She was in Barnes & Noble, and she scans to the Harlequin section in the Barnes & Noble and says, look, I found a whole publisher of AI romance books claiming that Harlequin category romances are actually written by AI. And I'm like, oh, you done messed up, you stupid hoe.
No kidding.
I got really, really fired up about this. Because first of all, Google's freaking free, people. Free.
And it's not new.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is do you know how hard it is to write category romance? I know a lot of people diss it, but you have a certain word count. It's anywhere from 45,000 to 60,000 words. It cannot go over. You have to hit certain beats within the book by certain percentages of the story. And yeah. Harlequin doesn't just buy everybody, but once they find an author, I mean, they keep buying.
They stick with them.
Yeah.
And some of our most favorite authors in the entire world, like the freaking queen of romance and publishing, her first book was published in Harlequin. And I'm talking about Nora Roberts.
Nora Roberts. Yep.
I want someone to send that TikTok to Nora Roberts and just watch her implode.
Oh my gosh, she would eviscerate her. Oh,
she's already gone off this week on people, so I don't think it would take much more.
I mean,
eviscerate.
No, Lili Singh, she is still a Harlequin author. Amy Dawes just sold her entire backlist to Harlequin. You know, like, we're not talking, Harlequin isn't outdated. Susan Brockman, Jane Ann Krantz, all of these people got their start in Harlequin.
But the thing with Harlequin is there's so many subsets too. Like, they have an entire suspense, like,
intrigue world. Yeah.
They have, like, they have so much, and they're still pushing books. Like, Janie Crouch just released her newest intrigue book.
Anyway, and Google is person, free.
Real people. Person. Met her and talked to her. Real person.
But I do believe that in 2025, it is going to be more of this. I honestly believe new to romance readers are not intelligent. And I don't mean intelligent like they're smart. I meant in their knowledge of the romance genre.
The book world.
Yeah.
Well, even the book world in general.
Yeah.
I think they walk in the room and don't take a look around and just start spewing stuff. Like, instead of like reading the room and like kind of, you know, figuring things out before you open your trap.
Well, it's just like Sue says, she says, before making proclamations, do your research. And that's the thing. If you looked up any of those authors on like any of those Harlequin shelves, you could clearly see they are real people who have been publishing for quite some time.
But it's no different than seeing the girl holding the Megan Quinn book talking about how much she loves this book, and then you ask her, oh yeah, well, have you read X, Y, or Z that also writes, oh well, no, those are indie books, I don't read indie books.
But Megan Quinn is hybrid.
Like, the only thing that's not indie about her books is that she sold her paperbacks to a publisher. Nothing else in her publishing process changed. No. And
I mean, she has some Montlake books, like, but those are like series that like she sold to them. Like,
it's the
she
ignorance.
Still, like, indie publishes 75% of her catalog.
Anyway, it's the ignorance, but
it's not even the ignorance. It's the fact that like they open mouth insert foot.
Yeah.
Like there's not even like a thought process.
But they don't even want, so like I made a comment on that girl's original video and said, hey, what you're spouting right now is actually really harmful and you're missing out on some amazing authors. And then I stitched it and made my own video. She
as one does.
She tried to report my comment for bullying and harassment. And I won my appeal from TikTok. Lady, you're stupid. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I'm seriously, I think the people at TikTok probably go, oh, this lady's stupid.
Did you cheer when you got that little notification saying
I'm not that petty.
Your appeal?
I'm not.
Excuse me, friend.
I would cheer.
Excuse me.
I'm out of giggled. Enjoy.
I'd have giggled.
Oh my God. I was going to say, you are that petty. You are pettier than that. Petty pants are our favorite pants.
Okay, so another thing that's going to happen in 2025,
Yeah, because it's 2025 soon.
We are going to see less and less historical romances being published by trad publishers.
Now, I think that's a travesty.
You are going to see there are still some small ones that have some contracts. So Entangled still has some contracts with some authors. I think Forever has one or two, but not many. Avon is the main one. Berkeley is the main ones that have said, we're not buying historical anymore at this time. I mean, it won't be forever. I don't think it'll be forever. But for the foreseeable future, looking at their 2026, 2027, 2028 calendar, right now, historical romance is not something they're interested in. And when pushback was asked, why aren't you buying that? The response was, new readers in the genre are not interested in historical, even though they are loving Bridgerton. They're not interested in historical because, one, they feel like every time they pick up a historical, they're trying to have some kind of history lesson pushed down their throat. They feel that everybody who writes historical has some kind of agenda and they're bored with it. And the other thing is they feel that historicals are overly wordy and are too long and don't make sense.
Bullshit.
These are the same bitches reading Lucy Score's 600-page book. That's all I'm saying.
But also, half of the Kindle Unlimited books, like authors are not say, I say a good quantity of the Kindle Unlimited books are overwritten 500-page books that these bitches are reading without fault. And they're not even good books, people. That's the worst part.
Yeah, I mean, and that doesn't go in line with the boom in romanticy because romanticy is heavily written. It's huge world building. There are a ton of history lessons in there. They're just packaged differently.
Yeah.
They're very political. Like,
yeah.
Like those are not like, what are, answers.
Again, it goes to the fact that like these are people who are reading these books but not cluing into any of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like people aren't reading. They're not
consuming.
They just want the stuff.
They're consuming it, but they're not understanding it. They're not internalizing it. It brings up the whole debate again that books are political and people who think that books aren't political are just consuming them and not necessarily truly reading
They're not
them.
Making connections to the real world. Like that as a reading teacher, that's what you need to do. You have to make connections to the real world.
Yeah.
And they're not doing that.
So one of the things we're going to see in 2025 is some of those big name historicals are going to start releasing their books independently.
Which is interesting because some of those people have been very against indie publishing.
Some of those people have been very against indie publishing and have been very vocal on their, they feel that indie publishing lacks a certain amount of quality and stuff. And some of this, if you think about historical and category, think about the size that it is. It's mass market.
Yeah.
And why does this girl not know what category is? Why don't these young readers want to read historical? Well, they're mass market. They don't like mass market. And well, that's dumb.
I think it would be different if category was like something new too. Like if it was a newer concept, I could give a little grace and fault for that. But category has been around since like historical showed up on the
1903.
Scene.
Moons, oh, wow. Like, bills, Boone Mills published the first line of category romances within England. And then in 1948, Harlequin bought it over to the U.S. and started publishing it. They were pocket-sized romances. They were mm-hmm. for the certain demographic of identifying women who shopped within smaller markets. So people who didn't have bookstores but had grocery stores, because pocket-sized books could be sold in your grocery store.
But that's the thing. Like, if it was a newer concept, then I could say, yes, I could understand where the thought process behind those comments would be. Still think it's dumb, but like, this is not new. Category is not new. Category has been around way longer than indie romance has been around, because indie romance has only been around for about 20 years here, people.
Well, that's not true, because indie romance, technically, things like Pride and Prejudice,
well, that's,
you know,
true.
Jane Austen, well, yes, many of those books were technically indie published.
Like, I'm talking the indie boom, though.
Yes,
like,
the indie
it's
boom.
Only been about 20 years or so, give or take. But like, category is, I mean, it's like a phenomenon of like many people's like childhoods.
Stacy says there were newer historical authors over the past few years that were overtly feminist and graded without realizing how feminist the genre is already, and made it a little too preachy for me. And
that,
I can respect that.
Not liking it.
And I know that Evie Dunmore, like, she, in one of her books, it was categorized as historical romance, but it really wasn't historical romance, because at the end of the book, she divorces the hero and moves to the south of France.
Well, that's very, very, like, unheard of.
Right. So... but she learned her lesson, and she said she'd never do that again. So,
I mean,
she took a beating on that one. Anyway, it's just interesting. I think that's some of the things we're going to see in 2025. I don't think Book Talk will have the purchase power that it used to have. I also think that, you know, we're going to see less historical, because they're not buying them.
Yeah.
And category apparently is under attack by idiots. Okay. So one of the, we'll change the subject now. I'll move on to happier topics. So one of the challenges that we do every year in the beginning of the year is we encourage everybody within our community to read new to you authors, to seek out those diverse picks, authors that you've never read before, you know, and we see the challenge that's the 12 for 12, mm-hmm. where you have 12 friends pick out 12 books for you to read. And that's always that's a great challenge, too. What we're meant to do is to push us each outside of our box. And really, it was started because I think it was the very first year, 2021, when Leah and I went to do our year end thing. And we started to realize that, like, we had a very cycled, like, each month. Like, you could tell, like, oh, this was a Sawyer Bennett release month. We read that book. This month was a Susan Stoker release. We read that one. This month was, you know.
Like, we were very.
In our box.
Pigeonholed.
Yeah.
We liked our lanes, and we didn't really like to veer out of our lanes. We have veered way out since then, though.
Well, and we did it in October, where we kind of pushed ourselves outside that contemporary bubble, because mostly I try to keep us to the contemporary bubble, because that's where we started. You know, we used to have Corset and Crown for historical. I think now, as going into 2025, we're probably going to have to pick into some historical that are around still and kind of start doing some stuff that way to give a broader scope of the genre. But we did that in October when we went to those out of this world picks. We've dabbled in monsters. So, but that's kind of what we're trying to do when we issue that challenge at the beginning of each year, is to encourage our listeners to pick outside your box, because there are some great authors out there that you might be sleeping on.
There are a lot of really great authors. And I think that's the thing. like everybody was like, oh, I haven't found books I like. And then I'm like, well, then you just got to keep reading and like pick up, get Kindle Unlimited for 3 months and start a book. And if you don't like it, it's not for you. Then turn it back in and get a different one. There's so many out there.
And my thing is like, just because like you said no to something before, like doesn't mean it will always be a no. Like, cause there are like, honestly, I have like no hard no's anymore. And I always thought that I did.
Well, and because I had situations where
I'm willing
where...
to literally read most anything at this point.
But I had a situation where I thought I needed to break up with an author because I wasn't hitting with like two or three books in a row from them. I kind of thought I was on a break from them. And then Lindsay read Avery Flynn's Anger Bang. And she's like, why are we sleeping on this book? And then I read it. It was so freaking hilarious.
Well, and there's been like two or three authors that I've broke up with for like a year, 6 months even. I mean, they release fairly regularly. So like 6 months was like a decent amount of books. And I came back and we've made up since then. But sometimes you just need to step back and take a little break.
Picked up the first book in that fragile sanctuary from Catherine Cowell this weekend.
Did you?
Because I just wanted something that I knew was going to have a little bit of a mystery. You know, good characters. I just want it easy.
Well, it's been a while since we've read her.
Right. So it worked. It's working. I'm not done yet. So don't spoil it. It's working.
I haven't read it yet. It's on. Me either.
I'm doing the audiobook. It's Andy Arndt and Zach Weber, and they're so good together.
I like that blend.
So.
But I think that's the big thing is like we challenge ourselves to read outside of our comfort zone and we found some really great authors doing that.
Well, I picked up Carrie Elks as a random new to me author because I was looking for an author that I don't even remember how I stumbled upon her, but I stumbled upon her and I read the ninth book in her Angel Sand series. And Leah about died. She's like, that's the last book in the series. I'm like, I know, but I'm just going to read it and see how it goes.
Yeah, it might have been a trope. Like, I do that too. Yeah. People think I'm insane, but I don't care. I don't care either. Cool.
I need to know everything that happened beforehand because if it gets referenced in the book I'm reading and I don't know what happened, I get real mad.
So I'm like the Wild Wild West anymore. Like, when it comes
to
my
proud
reading.
Of you.
Like, so no proud. Joke. Like, I mean, cheating was always a really hard no, and I went down a cheating rabbit hole like 2 or 3 months ago, and then I read this like insanity book.
We did
like,
it in November.
But like,
you started telling me about them, and I started reading cheating books. I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Well, because I read that vengeful trad wife book, but it's one of those things. Like, I always thought that those were a hard no, but like, I found that I really enjoy a messy book sometimes, but like my reading life is like the Wild Wild West. But part of it is because like 2024, I was like in a slump 75% of it. So like I basically just read anything in the hopes that it would get me out of it. And it caused a little chaos in my mind.
Stacey says it, you know, Carrie Elks was a new for her author this year and she's in for life. And I felt that way. Like when I discovered Julie Salmon, I read every book I could get my hands on for 9 weeks. Like, just give me those books. And I did the same thing when you encouraged me to read Krista Sandor's books. Mm-hmm. I read The Nanny and The Nerd. And you're like, no, you should go read the other stuff too. And I was like, okay. And I'm in for life. Like, there's something.
If you haven't read her first book, like that first series, you still need to go back and read that one.
I've read Mabel, Farm
Langley,
to Mabel.
Her Langley ones.
I've read book one. That's it.
Yeah.
Also, sign up for Girls Newsletter. If you are going to read a newsletter of all the authors you get, you should really honestly make a Krista Sandor's. And I promise you,
it never disappoints. Honestly, she's one of the few newsletters that I actually read. Like from start to finish. Like I open
pictures on Facebook with David. She's like, I'm in for bottle two of this Argentine white. And David is 8 hours into the turkey. Just like, what is wrong with you?
Michael was going to smoke a turkey this year also. But he is not confident enough in his smoking skills to like go full fledged. So he smoked a ham instead. And we baked the turkey.
I will tell you, smoking a turkey is life-changing.
It is.
Oh, I'm
That's
sure
how
it's
I
delicious.
Grew up. That's all we had.
But we also, we do like the fire smoking also. He doesn't have like a pellet thing or anything. So
no.
Dude has to basically like babysit
charcoal
like whatever
and fire.
He's smoking
yep.
all day.
Also, yep. We basted it with melted butter. Like a real healthy choice. But it was
my so dad. Good. Okay, I mean, growing up, my dad would get the turkey and he would, you know, separate the skin from the meat when it was raw. And then he would literally shove 3 pounds of butter between the skin and the meat into the turkey. Like in every orifice, crack, and whatever, there was butter, like whole sticks.
We brined this year anyway. And it turned out pretty yummy.
Anyway, okay, so new to us authors, do you have, first of all, how do you discover your new to you authors? So if I say to Amanda, Amanda, how'd you find your new to you authors this year?
I mean, a fair amount come from, you know, the podcast. Obviously, you know, I've gone down, you know, rabbit holes. I mean, I never thought I was going to read a Why Choose until Becky said, hey, you want to read this Why Choose Dragon Shifter?
It was
let
more
me know
like you
how
need
it
to
is.
Read. It wasn't, do you want to? It's like, you need to read this because I have questions on this author.
Well,
and
yeah. So there were like 2 books out from Tessa Hale for her Dragons of Ember Hollow. And I was waiting on the third. So I just proceeded to binge her backlist. Who knew, you know? So
who knew?
I mean, I get them from the podcast, and then I have... outside of you guys, I have like a few other like trusted book friends. My friend Aaron like recommends a lot for me. And then sometimes I just pick one up because it's on the cover or I see somebody talking about it on threads. It's a mixed bag for me. So,
well, what's funny is like with the Tessa Hale, it was like, I know things, but I don't know things. And I need you to tell me the things I know, because I do this to Leah a lot too. I'll be like, Leah.
All the time.
I think that I know things. I need you to know if you know things. Can you please read this? And she's always like, why? I'm like, read it and then we'll discuss.
Like, tell Lindsay and Amanda.
She will throw you and Lindsay under the bus. She goes, can't you just get Amanda or Lindsay to do this?
I'm like, I don't have the headspace for this. Well, because Lindsay literally will read anything we like tell her to. We're like, Lindsay, read this. She's like, okay, I got that. And I mean, you do too a lot of times. So like, if I just am not in the right headspace, I'm like, please ask one of them.
Yeah, sometimes I'm not. But yeah, I mean, poor Lindsay. Like, she, you know,
she does the labor.
She got my Secret Santa, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna send you 3 books. It's not just one; it's 3. She's like, okay, I got it. I was like, all right. I was like, you only have to read the first one, but I was like, here you go.
I still haven't decided.
I haven't done mine
my
either.
Person yet, so I apologize.
I got
for that.
Jenny, and Jenny always tells everybody, I just read everything Becky tells me to read. And I'm like,
so you're trying to figure out what you haven't told her to read.
Right?
I have Heather left? And I'm debating between 2 different books. So I might just send them.
I'm like,
both.
What have I not
told? Send them on me. Well, Jenny, you guys know that I'm like the stubborn one where I'm like, if someone tells me to read it, I actually won't read it.
She won't.
So,
trust me.
Which is why I'm going to send you a couple.
I don't know why I am that way, but I am.
Oppositional defiance disorder?
I don't know.
Anybody ever heard of it?
It's the only time the Minnesota Nice does not come out.
It's so weird, though.
You were my first Bookstagram friend. We have known each other since 2019. 2019. Heather, have you read Rena Morgan yet?
Do you know, I bought the books. I have the audio. Like, I'm not even, I don't know.
You like swore like 2 months ago that you were going to start.
She can't do it. She can't
do it. Did you not do it yet?
I did. I started it. And then I got like distracted, like some other audiobook came out.
Then the ADHD kicked in.
Yeah.
I do that with like social media stuff. Like if something gets really popular on social media, I'm like,
oh, I won't
no,
read
I'm
it.
Not reading that. Like, which is
same.
No. Well, and if there's certain book talkers or bookstagrammers talking about a book, I will not read it out of principle.
Yeah, same.
Same.
Wow. Even if it's an author I really like, if they talk about it, I'm like, no, thank you. I will wait for that.
Yeah. I think we've all got a little bit of that oppositional defiance going on.
I'm just really mean and petty.
Wow. Okay, Heather, how do you find new to you authors? Because obviously it is not from us.
That isn't true. I do read.
No, we talk about it, and she's like, maybe I'll read that one since they didn't tell me to.
There's a couple Facebook groups that I'm in, so like people will post like, I'm looking for this, and then someone like posts a book, and then if I just kind of go through all my screenshots, and I'm like, oh, I'll try this one. I'm a really fly by the seat of my pants. Like, if a trope sounds good to me, I don't care if it's book 11 in a series, if it's arranged marriage, I'm in, or if it's friends to love. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just kind of go where the wind takes me.
That's fair.
That's not, I know that's not great, but that's just honestly.
But I feel like that's how a lot of us do it, though. Like, we talk about a book and it's like, that sounds really interesting. Or like, we'll come across like somebody talking about it. And it's like, they have to have a valid specific reason as to why they liked it. And sometimes if they don't like it, I'm like, I wonder if I'll like this. And then I'll dive into it.
I would have to say that of all the podcast hosts, Amanda and Heather are probably our biggest mood readers.
Yeah.
Their mood can solely affect a book way faster. You and I will give a book a chance even if we're not feeling it. But
yeah. Well, and most of the time I might skip and read it out of order. Like,
right.
I like to do sometimes.
But we can power through, aka Meghan Quinn.
I did not power through that one. I skipped around on that one a lot.
I couldn't
but
do
wait,
it.
What was that book I read like a couple months ago where I read the entire book but not a single thing in order?
I don't remember, but I do
know. I don't remember either.
But I can't fathom.
That's
doing
my
that.
Thing is like I will bounce around a book. I did it the other day. I don't remember what I was reading, but like the characters were intriguing, but there was something about it I didn't like, so I bounced.
So for me, one of the things that I always am doing to look for new authors is because I like audiobooks, and for 2024, audiobooks are what really worked for me the most just because I was very busy with work this year and life. I love Hoopla because I can search by narrator via Hoopla, and I will look for specific narrators. So like I love Wesley Chabon. I love when she narrates a book. She did Lucy Eden's book Boyfriend and Cherishing the Goddess and all of those. So I went looking for her, and that's how I found Alexandra House. And I read Holding, and I haven't been the same since. Like, I loved
those
books.
I do too. Like, I'll search an author or a narrator.
Yeah.
Because because I like to listen to audiobooks when I'm at my office job, just because, like, it gets kind of slow, and sometimes I'm there by myself, so I need something to keep me company. But yeah, I'll search narrators just because like their voice, but it also depends on who they're narrating with, because some people don't blend well, so I always have to like be cognizant of the blend.
Yeah. Okay, so do you guys have any standouts for this year? Like, are there some new to you authors this year that you're in for life? Like, if they're writing it, you're reading it. Go ahead, Heather, who do you got?
Actually, in January, I started reading L.K. Shaw. So she has mafia romance, and I like binge hardcore. And I've literally been stalking her, and she really hasn't released much. But I'm keeping a close
eye. I think
she
was having some health issues, and that's why she had pushed back.
Definitely. But there's a new, mafia series that's coming out.
She just dropped a bunch into KU too.
I think she's a rotator. I think she goes between Kobo Plus and KU fairly consistently.
Well, it was one of the series that hadn't been in KU yet that she dropped in.
Nice. Amanda, do you have a standout author this year?
Kara DeWitt for me, honestly. Like, I'm just, I've only read three so far. I still have to read Funny Feelings, but Savor It like altered my brain chemistry, I think. Like, I'm just,
that's a really good book.
I'm obsessed with that book. And I'm like, there's something about the way that she writes, and I don't know what it is, but I'm like, I don't think I'll ever like not read a new book if she puts it out.
I understand that. I understand that feeling. What about you, Leah? Do you have an outstanding new to you author this year?
Kathy Yardley.
Kathy Yardley.
Like, role playing was my first book by her. We did it last week. And I really loved her writing style and her characters.
Yeah.
I thought that the way that she developed that story and like the way the characters came together and just the story itself was really well done.
So this will come as no surprise to anyone. Mae Marvel for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah, you keep talking about that one.
If and that's an author I'm excited to watch in 2025. And I realize that it is a couple and they both have our authors under other pen names. Mae Marvel is the one they write together. So Ruthie Knox, and I can't think of what the other author's name is. I'll find it. They write together. So, and they write sapphic. And, you know, I know that not everyone loves sapphic and kind of gives it a bit of a hard bum. But if I'm really honest, you know, I constantly complained in 2024 about the lack of stakes in books. Yeah. And when I look at Ashley Blake Harrington, when I look at Mae Marvel, when I look at, what was the Poltergeist and Spice? Allie K. Mulford and I can't think of who wrote that with her. When I look at their books, it's the stakes. You know, while the spice might be a little less, the emotion, the stakes, the characters that they give us are so good that you don't miss the spice. It's kind of like that Kathy Yardley book. Like, it was a slow burn.
Miss the spice.
But there was never a moment in that book that I'm like, fucking do it already. Like, there just wasn't. Anyway, Amanda.
Beck or Jenny found it. It's Ruthie Knox and Annie Mayer.
Okay. Thank you.
Stacy said K.F. Breen, which is, I'd love to hear that because that's one of my favorites. So
yeah,
Stacy said that was one of hers.
Okay. Any other? Let's go with our standout authors. Let's talk about some of these new to us authors or titles that we found. One, to be honest, we made the change in, well, we made the decision to do it in March. We announced the change in April with going to the Wednesday episodes and stop doing the quick shots on the main podcast feed. We still do quick shots. They're just over in our Patreon. So if you join Patreon, you can listen to tons of book reviews over there. I think we're releasing sometimes two a week. Because Mike is like, I thought this was going to be less work for me. And it's not, but it's fine.
Has he met us?
I know, right? So quick shots are on Patreon, but we went to those Wednesday book club styled episodes where we really talk and dissect a book. And as we have done that this year, I've found some really standout authors like Tara DeWitt. She was not on my radar, but she was our trending title that month. And we were like, we're going to have to read that book.
It was really good.
That Gabrielle
Gomez.
I made
Gomez, my mom read it. She liked
it really?
Too.
Oh, yeah. I randomly buy it for people.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Like, I'll take my mom's Kindle and see what she's reading and I'll just download books for her.
That's so funny. That Gabrielle Gomez, which was her debut that we read, the last or the next best fling.
The next best fling. That was really good. I enjoyed that.
That was really good.
That book was so messy and it was just the messy I needed. And actually, because that book was so messy, I didn't feel like Natalie Kenya's book, Sleeping with the Frenemy, was as messy as everybody else was saying it was.
Yeah. I mean,
because it wasn't as messy as that.
It was definitely not as messy as that. But, and I also think too, I mean, I think it just, it kind of went in with where she was at with closing out that family series, but
But I think the messy book, because I look at like Holding by Alexandra House. I read Christine Jones this year. Her book was really messy and complicated.
But I think that we needed the mess this year just because personal lives were a little more chaotic than typical.
Maybe. What other outstanding authors do we have?
I tried C.E. Ricky for, like, and this has been an author that has been talked about a lot. It's sort of like a dark MM, and it's higher on the angst scale, I feel like.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know how to I describe them as gritty, so, like, more like a little darker but angstier. I will be going back. I really liked
I think that. I hear a lot of people say she's got like the, it's almost bully kind of.
Yeah, like I'm not a huge fan of Bully, yeah. But I feel like it was more angsty than. Yeah.
So like it's
probably
early
like toes that line.
Candy Steiner mm-hmm. kind of angsty.
I don't know. I've never read Candy Steiner. Oh, okay.
She's on our to read list. I know. I don't think any of us have.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
I haven't. I feel like
guys,
I would like the messy.
I read Devney Cherry for the first time this year. So
yeah. Devney was a new to you well, author this year.
Oh, that's crazy.
Devney Cherry was a new to me author this year. As along with Kristen Proby.
Oh yeah.
You went into the back, but Amanda did backlist dives this year too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mentioned my friend Erin and she got me to binge Carla Sorensen. Mm-hmm. So I did like the whole Washington Wolves, the Ward Sisters. I'm on to the new series.
She's one that we took a little break.
Yeah.
I
no. Yeah.
Came
and
back
I
and I shall be going back and reading the ones that I missed.
And then I got another one that you took a break with. Like Rachel got me to do Jessica Prince. She got mm-hmm. me started with like Dead to Rights, and then I went back and read almost all of it. So yeah, I mean yeah. it's been a big backlist binge for me this year.
Let's see.
So I was one of my friends, she's actually a swim mom, and we happened to get talking about books. And I have introduced her to many books. I've talked about it before, but she's the mom who I was like, wait, is consent important? She's like, oh, yeah. Maybe. And I'm like, oh, then I have so many authors for you. And actually I have another mom who was like, she only reads romance also. And I was like, oh, I got a list for you. And I gave her all these recs. She's like, but I can't do like dark stuff. I was like, that's okay. I'll give you all of these. But she introduced me to Jessica Gadziella. She has a whole bunch of different, like she does some like paranormal stuff. She has MC. She has like mafia. Like she has a pretty wide variety of books. Like I've dove fairly deep into the backlist for her, but her mafia one, she just had a new one come out. It's called I don't remember what it's called, but it was very good, and I've actually read like three or four of her books this weekend.
So a book that was a quiet sneak for me that I read recently, I did the audiobook, was Love and Other Conspiracies by Mallory Marlowe.
That looks so good.
It the mm-hmm. cover's adorable, and it delves into cryptids and the search for Bigfoot and Mothman. And if anyone knows anything about my girl child, she is totally
She's
into the
that.
Cryptids. She's trying to convince us that we need to go to Mount Pleasant or Point Pleasant, West Virginia, to see the Mothman statue, because apparently he has a very nice ass. Didn't know this was a thing. Look it up.
Well, Rebecca Gallo like sent you the picture of it.
Well, Rebecca Gallo is, as B. Gallo, she is writing a Mothman romance.
Wow.
So they're going to meet halfway, because it's halfway between the two of them to see the statue.
To see the statue.
That's amazing.
And ogle a metal man's butt.
I mean, it's like when you see the David and there's some ogling there.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I did not ogle it.
I'm just not sure that's the same thing, Leah.
Ogle in a different world.
Okay. another new to me author that I did this year was Hannah Cohen. I know lots of people had already read her. But I read Her Greatest Mistake, and then I actually am been reading the Cherry Peak books, which is the three friends in its small town prairie Canada, and I'm loving it. But I will say with her books, they are very slow burns.
Do you miss it, though?
What?
Do you miss it, though?
No. Because she gives me, even though her books are kind of soft with vibes, she gives me some good stinks as far as emotions, especially with the heroines. Many of the heroines are plus size, real bodied heroines, or dealing with body image and stuff like that. And it works. It really, really works for me. Okay, what else do we got?
Discovered Jocelyn Soto.
Go ahead.
Which I I will, full disclosure, I did some audio work for her. So like I did like audio edits for her. So I listened to the book and read the book like as like I did them, and I just really loved her work doing it that way. But she is an author that should be on your radar if she isn't already. Her books are well done. They're excellent. Like, yes, I did the audios, but I wasn't editing the books. I was just editing the audio. But yeah, like she's an author that I will definitely pick up, even if I wasn't
Well, and
getting
I think the
paid.
cartel books, we read one, the baseball book, as a group for one of the Wednesday episodes, and I know not many people really loved it. But I will say I do think that the cartel books and then into
She has a, there's like a
the Dark
definitely
Knight.
different flow with her writing style in those cartel books. Like she's just way more
Well,
comfortable in that
I think it's
world.
more to sh that she's those were written after, like
Yeah.
in
She's
her.
definitely like in like her writing has grown a lot.
Because Amanda, you did all the Dark Knight quote polls, right? For us,
Yep, I
for
did
me.
all the Dark Knight quote polls, and I did the and then I
Cartel.
did the series stuff for the cartel books.
Yeah.
So the Bible stuff or the yeah, the Bible stuff. So yeah, I mean I really enjoyed all of it. She was new to me this year too. And I really like her writing style. I mean, she has some heroes that I'm completely obsessed with, so and I make no bones
No
about it.
qualms about
So
it. You don't
what
make
was
any
it?
bones about it.
I don't. I love Liam Crawford. I'm here to say.
Heather, what else do you have? Who else do you have for new to you authors this year?
Well, I actually just read that Cleo Evans you had
Oh
suggested,
yeah.
like that little spicy novella. And wow, that is literally spicy.
Which
She
one
does
did
not
you
hold back on
read?
that.
The lumberjack one or the
Or the My
monsters?
Perfect.
The perfect,
Gift.
I'm pulling. The perfect gift one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I actually was like, hey, is she the spicy normally? And you're like, yeah, she can pull the spice. So I downloaded the Small Town series. It's a little bit romantic suspense, and that is on the docket. I'm
Yep.
excited.
Yeah, she is very good.
I did. She was new to
She
me.
was new to me this year also.
She was new to me. I went down the warts and claws rabbit hole with Cleo Evans.
You just went through like a monster
There was a lot of
moment.
monster. There was actually, so I read a lot of debut authors this year, 2024 debut authors. Amber Cordova, which was last month's book club author, she was a debut in 2024. Danica Neva, she was a debut in 2024. Elliot Rose was a debut. I struggled with her first book. I will read her second book to give her a chance because I never am going to write off a debut offering. But book two is 563 pages.
Oh,
I
And
don't
book
know if I can
one
do
was
that
over
one.
500. And I just was
Oh,
like, it was a pacing nightmare for me. Gabrielle
that's
Gomez
still
was a
long.
debut. Ivy Fairbanks, her Morbidly Yours was a debut this year. If you liked Pushing Up Daisies, do you remember that HBO show?
I love that show.
You would like, I think you would like her Morbidly Yours. It's a little slower burn. It definitely is into that trad pub.
Well, and like with all of the debuts, like there were some missteps, but for a debut author, like you
You can forgive
expect
it.
that.
Yeah. Maya Ariel, I read When I Think of
Oh,
You,
that was
and
really good.
we did a happy hour with her. She was a debut this year. We had for the first time Kat Mazira and Elise Faber writing together. They wrote that Icebreaker book.
Yeah, they're gonna do the whole series too, which is
I
exciting.
actually
Yeah,
think
I
that
like
I
their
like
books
them
together.
better together than I do
See,
separately.
I like Elise's books. I don't love Kat's books, but anytime Kat writes with somebody, I really enjoy her writing.
Another Wednesday. Go ahead.
She's just one of those authors. I like really enjoy like the blend of the writing styles
Yeah.
way better than her
The
individually.
next book is about the rock star that got into the accident with the damaged hand.
Yeah,
So
I'm
I'm
excited.
excited. another book that came out of our Wednesdays, which I'm going to blame you, Amanda. Take It or Leave It by Lainey Hatcher. She was new to me this year. I've not read her historical stuff.
And I really enjoy her historical stuff.
Just wait till my book of the week.
Okay, book of the week.
I agree. Lainey Hatcher was great.
Yeah, she's one of my favorites.
That Take It or Leave It was so...
It was really good.
It was so fun. It was so fun.
Well, and one thing, like, with her historicals, the writing style is very similar. Like, she doesn't have a different voice for her historicals. It's just set in historical time.
That's nice. Yeah. Marshmallow Mountain by M.A. Wardle and A.J. Truman. A.J. Truman wasn't new to me, but M.A. Wardle was. And so the two of them together, that book was so sweet. So cute.
AJ just had another baby, and it's so cute. Oh my god,
that's exciting.
No secret, I'm just a huge fan of his.
I know you are huge
fan. Not stopping.
I have a big one to blame Becky for.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm still down. My Maggie Gates was new to me this year.
So you're so welcome.
I'm not complaining. No, I'm not complaining because I did the Falls Creek, and then I did the Griffith Brothers as they came out, and now I'm back on the Poker Club, like, and I'm reading through those slowly so I can get through them before her next one comes out. Like, I'm obsessed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I am wanting to do a Maggie Gates binge that I really liked.
It's worth it.
So she just sold a bunch of books to Tantor for audiobook publishing that should be coming out in the next couple months, like, you know, throughout the year, because she sold the Griffiths Brothers, the 1001 that she had, or 1000 Lives or something. I don't know if she sold the Poker Club, but I think she might
have. I don't think she did. I think that it was just those two, wasn't it?
No,
I didn't think it was all
three. It was a bunch. I think she decided after everything that happened with doing Falls Creek that she did not want to be in the publisher side of her audiobooks, that it made more sense for her time, her heartache, and everything to just use something like a publisher like Tantor. So those will be coming out, and Tantor typically goes right into Hoopla, which is nice. Okay, so this was an author I did work for, which Jocelyn Soto was an author I did work for, but I want to talk about, I actually read Sarah L. Hudson, her space series box set. They're on audio. They're so fun. And book two in that series was my favorite. He is a grumpy cowboy, and she is the super smart, overachieving astronaut. And they are so opposites, but he hurts her feelings, and then he bakes her cookies. They have sex, and then he bakes her cookies. And anyway, like, seriously, a man that bakes you cookies? I mean, come on. If I can have warm chocolate chip cookies after an orgasm, hello, 10 out of 10.
The covers are actually very funny.
They're so funny. Yeah. But I have gone on, so I worked on, I wrote series Bibles for her on those books. But I've gone on, she has another series that spin off from that is with Ballwood Publishing, which is who Kelly Jameson's new publisher is. And I've read those, and they're very, very good. So if you're looking for fun rom-coms that are really fun rom-coms without trying to shove stuff down
they're not
your throat.
Real over the top either.
No.
Like, they're funny, but they're not like obnoxious in the funny.
Yeah, so I really liked this
because I read book one because I needed something funny.
Lauren Morrill, she has More Than a Feeling. It takes place in small town Indiana. He's a hockey player that it's between seasons, and he kind of has to go home because he has a bad boy reputation. So he goes home to his small town and fake dates his best friend's little sister, who's also the local librarian, and forces him to work at the library. It's fantastic.
She's a librarian. Of course, we're going to read that.
Right?
Well,
I love a librarian. What else?
I just met somebody. Daisy Jane was new to me, and we had her for book club.
Yeah.
She writes a kinky book. So if you're looking for kinky... Does. I really like her femdoms. They're very spicy. So if that's what you're needing to get you through to the holidays, highly recommend.
Does anybody else have any they want to talk before we go on to the next thing?
I have just one.
Go ahead.
Because we all know that I'm, well, I mean, I've already talked about her like a million times, but I'm deep into the romanticy, fantasy, you know, people killing other people right now. So so the Everseas by LJ Andrews has been like that was, that got me into it. It was like the Never King and the Never Queen. There's three books in that series. I've gone back to read the previous series, The Broken Kingdoms, and I'm like working my way through that. But you can tell, what I really appreciated is you could start at the Everseas and read those books, and she gives you enough that you don't have to. And they're not super long fantasy. I mean, they're like 300-400, but they're not these 500-600-700 page like tomes.
Yeah.
You know, and things happen, and you get like the first two books in the Everseas, it's one couple. The third book is one couple. The fourth book is going to be another couple. You're not getting these long, huge sagas about one couple. So I just really appreciate the way that she writes fantasy, and like I would recommend her to anybody. And she was new to me because I subbed to Arcane Society and they did her books, and I needed to find out if I was going to keep them.
Okay. So okay.
That's how I found her.
Is there any romance author? So this is just throwing out a projection, and we'll actually probably do this in our year roundup episode too. Is there any romance authors you think are going to be an emerging voice in 2025? Is there any romance author that you think, hey, they're going to be ones to watch coming in?
I think Nevessa Allen is going to be an author to watch for 2025.
Yeah. I think she's going to unseat Bren Weavers.
I do too.
In that dark romantic comedy genre. I don't disagree with that. Any others? Does anybody else? Can anyone else think of any?
Well, I'm so bad at this. Like
me too. I mean, there's obviously authors that I want to be super successful in 2025. Right. And I have high
hopes.
Like, yes, I have high hopes and I want them to be successful. So
do you have any you think that we'll see, Leah?
I mean, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. Because the way that things are changing and like the fact that there's so many authors writing to trend right now.
I know.
It is hard to say an author's going to really do well, because the books that I feel like are really well written are not necessarily what people are reading, because they don't want substance. They just want mush.
I think that's fair. Okay. Do we think, what about, so I said at the beginning of 2024 that we knew that we were going to see the mystery, the romantic suspense, the kind of those like what Bryn Weaver did, the serial killers, the criminal activity. Mm-hmm. We knew that we were going to see a surge in those come 2024. Freda McFadden was laying the groundwork. We knew that she was going to make roads and that it would push those kinds of books up. And we saw that, right? We saw that romanticy with Fourth Wing and Rebecca Yarros, and then you had Quicksilver. We know that those are being pushed forward and up. Do you think that there is maybe a subgenre or a type of book you think will have their moment in 2025? You make your guess, and then I'll tell you what I think it's going to be.
I think with Sarah Kate's new series, that new trad pub, kind of more spicy book coming out, I wonder if we're not going to see a lot more spicy. Not like, you know, kind of a 50 Shades, like not hopefully way better written than 50 Shades, but that kind of, you know, how that kind of took off and everyone was very spicy, and it was, I feel like people are ready for that again.
Yeah, I can see that. But then I read Catherine Cowell's book that is also part of Sourcebooks.
It's the whole crime junkie, like serial, like.
But to be honest, though, Catherine's was not spicy at all.
Yeah, and I think she kind of said that. I mean, I haven't read it yet, but I think she kind of
It
in her
leans more
Facebook
into
group
the
kind of said that it
women's,
wasn't.
yeah,
Yeah.
women's
But
fiction.
we're still seeing that romanticy boom too. Like there's so many books that have been bought recently
Devney
in the
Perry sold a
romanticy, and there's so many
series.
authors
A.L.
who
Jackson
like
sold
Michelle
books.
Hurd, A.L. Jackson, Devney, like there are these authors that have been well established for a few years who are writing romanticy right now, and it's like they say that it's been something they've always wanted to do, and some of them, yes, I believe that is true, but it like when they started writing, that was not like the subgenre that was there. But I think that we're gonna see a lot of that in 2025.
Yeah,
So
I
I
agree.
have
That's not going
two
anywhere.
thoughts. One of the things that I think we're going to see is I think we are going to see monster romance hit
Yep.
more of the trad pub mainstream. January Bell, in her other pen name, just sold a Minotaur book to Berkeley, as Brittany Kelly. And we've seen the Minotaur come out from, I think it's Berkeley, with Ruby Dixon, her Minotaur. So I do think
Yeah.
monsters are going to get their day. We see that with the Mallory Marlowe book because that was a trad pub, cryptid suspense. The other thing that I think is going to make its moment in contemporary romance, and it's because of fantasy, but it's because not every author, romance author, can write romanticy, right? It
Right,
takes a
yeah.
special skill to write the lore and all of that. Family sagas.
Yeah, I think we're going to get
Imagine
back to that.
Dallas and
I'm here for it. Oh,
bring it
what is
on.
it, like Crest Landing or
Yeah.
Knot's Landing.
Knot's Landing?
Yeah.
Yep,
Yeah.
we're gonna
Falcon Crest was
Falcon
the other
Crest.
one.
We like Yellowstone. We are
Yeah.
going to see these deep, rich family sagas starting to make their way into contemporary romance.
Well, and
Yeah.
like we had those at one
We
point,
did.
and like they kind of went by the wayside for a while. And I think that's the thing with romance is if you look at romance as a whole, it's cycles. Like there are cycles. Like it's not like a natural progression and the cycle is not always smooth, but like you always go back to something that worked at one point or another. And like probably like 25, 30 years ago, those dynasty type things were like the big thing.
Even if you look at a series like Lauren Rose, Morgan Family, that's a family saga. We get each family's snippet and their life and their moment, how it intertwines and works within the family unit. And even some of the found family vibes you guys see in romantic suspense, that really kind of equates to that vibe of a family saga.
Well, and Ivy Lane, like with her Winter Saga and like her new like Sawyers of like Sawyer's Bend, like that, like they have sagas. Like there's this big mystery in the background of all of those books. And it's like you get it in book one, and like I mean her Winter's one, it was kind of like in a couple different parts because like the series kept going, but it's like through the first like seven or eight books, there was this big backstory of like who killed the parents and all that stuff. And that's the same thing with this new Sawyer's Bend one. Like book one, it opens up with Griffin coming home, but the dad was murdered. And it's like it's a whodunit throughout the whole
But
series.
even if you look and think of what you love about Maggie Gates, it's a family saga. It's that interconnected, deep, enriched world. And I just think we are going to see a lot of that booming in
It's funny
2025.
because I just, yeah, I mean, I'm really happy you said that because I just listened to like Dylan Allen, her first book in her Rivers Wild
Oh,
series
that
on
is on my
audio.
TBR. Is it
It
good?
is so good. So I'm
Okay.
listening to it, and it's The Legacy is the name of it, and it is
Yeah.
completely family saga. It's set in
That has
Houston,
been
and
on
I'm
my
reading
TBR
it,
for
and
a while.
I was like, this is Dallas meets like Falcon Crest or what? I can't remember what I put in my review,
Yeah.
but like I was obsessed. And you know that I'm typically like a rereader on audio. Like I
Yeah.
don't go in like a new book on audio. I ate this one up. Like it's
Okay,
on
well,
Hoopla. It's so
I
good.
think
Who
something
does
just
the
got bumped
narration?
up.
Do you know?
I don't know. And I didn't recognize the narrators because they're doing like Texas accents. So there was like when they were doing each other's, it was a little kind of like I was like, eh. But the story
Yeah.
had me like so obsessed that I couldn't
I'm
like
looking it up.
I had it on like every five
I think
minutes.
that's going to have to be on my
Stephen
bumped up.
Dexter and
Oh, ooh.
Robin Vernet,
Okay.
B R
Burn.
B Verne. It must have been free because I bought it in February of 2024.
Yeah, I think I had Stephen the Dexter. Ebook too.
Is it interracial couple?
The first couple is not, but I think the first couple is not, but I think the second book, I think the male main character is biracial. Ooh.
Okay.
It looks Becky, like it's the audio was included.
The 1001 Dark Nights novella for the family. It's Wesley Chabon.
Oh.
I love me some Wesley Chabon. Okay.
And Winston James.
Sorry, okay, we gotta get backtrack.
No, it's okay. It's fine. You know, we're just gonna be a little long tonight. The only one who's complaining is Mike, nobody else. Okay. So that leads us, as we've talked about all this, into Project Backlist. So we have started Project Backlist as a way to help our readers, our listeners, to find new to them authors in hidden gem backlists. So we are super excited with this project. It has been really successful. And this week, our Project Backlist author is Erin Nicholas. We are exploring her Billionaires in Blue Jeans series. Things to know about Erin. Fun facts. I made her send me fun and random facts. She made a pie from scratch for the first time ever because of this series. She did it live on Facebook with her readers, and it was not terrible, but also a lot of work for something you can buy frozen at the store.
I can totally hear her saying
me
that.
Too.
Oh my gosh.
This was the first time she did a custom photo shoot for a series, and it was so fun having the same female model become the triplet sisters, and she didn't mind posing with three different guys for three covers. Such a trooper. So this series is, book one is Diamond and Dirt Roads. It's book one in the series. And the tropes in this book were billionaire, she's the billionaire, an heiress, small town, pie shop, sisters, fake dating, opposites attract. The books are available in Kindle Unlimited. The audio is in Hoopla. If you subscribe to our newsletter, you will get the backlist newsletter tomorrow, late tomorrow or early Tuesday.
Yes, late tomorrow, probably.
Because we're waiting for Erin. She's trying to put book one for free. So we're waiting to get that information from her before we send it out. So make sure you guys open that and check it out. I listened
to a really fun series. Like, the books are not super long. They're easy to get through. Like, it's an interesting concept because the girls, like, they inherit the shop, but they don't have a great relationship with their dad, like, when all of this, like, goes down.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a lot of, like, emotion with like, side of it too.
He was never a great dad. He never married their mom. They're triplet sisters. They live in New York. They get notified that he has died, and in his will, he has left them his pie shop in small town Iowa that they didn't know he had, and they have to live together, and they've been given specific roles within the pie shop, and
none of them know how to run a pie shop.
And none of them know how to run a pie shop or cook. I mean, the one travels the world, the one is a socialite, and the other is a research scientist, like a biologist. Anyway, I'm telling you,
it's a really great series, though.
In 2 days, I listened to all three books. They're in Hoopla. It was so good. And it was, they're short.
Yeah.
But it's what, picking them up, they're short, they read like category. Okay? Like, they're just fast, easy reads. The characters are really good.
Yeah, and look how pretty the cover is.
There was stakes and emotion. Like, I can't recommend this series enough. I really,
yeah,
really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've all read book one, like, yesterday in like
it's 300 one day. Pages.
Yeah, it was a super easy read, and it was a lot
I did
of
not
fun.
Realize that
it yeah. goes so fast. It's really good. I really liked it. And the whole pie piece
it's hilarious.
And in book one, he's fake dating one of the sisters, but
he's fake dating a sister, but he thinks it's a different sister.
No, well, he knows the difference.
Yeah, only for a minute when they first kiss.
She doesn't know that he knows.
Right. Well, he, yeah.
So there's a little bit of chaos.
It's like deception within deception. Yeah, it's there's a lot going on, but it's fun.
It was fun. It was so easy to read, so I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, because even in the blurb, even if that means dating the workaholic CEO Ava, or pretending to at least, even if it means resisting the so right for him, she's totally wrong party girl, Corey.
Right. The whole sprinkles conversation where she refers to him as a sprinkle. Yeah. I was like, okay, I kind of want to be a sprinkle. Anyway, okay.
It's such a great story. And like,
it is. And if you've not read,
just a character.
Well, Iowa doesn't get much love in romance books. So,
well, if you haven't.
This is the second series she has in Iowa. Well, this is technically the first one.
It's Kansas, right?
No, it's Iowa.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it was Iowa.
No, they moved to Bliss, Kansas.
Oh, it's Bliss, Kansas?
The Iowa one is our hotcake series. Okay. It's Applebee's.
I could have sworn it was.
No, move to Bliss, Kansas.
Kansas, you're right.
Run his pie shop for a year.
But they talk about Iowa in the book.
6 months. I think, Kansas and Iowa are basically the same thing, right?
Pretty much.
Flat.
Okay, so it's that time, you guys. It's that time.
For
Book of the Week. It's Book of the Week time, or we're going to end up a 2-hour show tonight.
Sorry.
We're not. It's only 10:16. We got time.
Heather, what's your Book of the Week?
Hold on. Let me get to where I typed it. I am reading Snowstorm by E.M. Lindsay. So this is a M.M. snowed in book. I thought it was a novella, but it's actually a full-size book. E.M. Lindsay writes really great, deep characters, and they often write characters that have a disability. And so one of the main characters had an accident and utilizes a wheelchair and a walker. And they're a little older. The other main character is an author and sort of had like a PR nightmare and kind of had to go away. So they're kind of snowed in together, and it's just really good.
Okay.
Really good.
Amanda, what is your Book of the Week? Which I'm super jealous that you had this arc. And I know I could have emailed Lainey and been like, hey, friend, but I didn't.
Yeah, so I got an arc of Leaf It to Me by Lainey Hatcher, which is book 2 in the Kirby Falls series. She dropped it on Tuesday. I don't think I could get to it until Wednesday, and I finished it like really fast. But you're getting those same kind of emotions. This is Candace Judd, who she is the daughter of the apple farm across the way from Grandpappy's farm. So she's been living in New York for 7 years. Some things happen. She has to come home. She's the youngest child. There's a lot going on with her older siblings and her family. But she runs into Mark Mercer, who also works at her family's farm. And they went to high school together. And she doesn't like recognize him at first. And like he's changed a lot. He used to be kind of like a nerdy kid. I won't say too much because, you should definitely read it. And I think you all will. But I think what gets me with Lainey is she writes these characters that I would like stand in front of a truck for. Like in the first book, it was like Becca. I was like, I just wanted to wrap her up. I loved her. Mm-hmm. Mark, like that man must be protected at all costs. Like he is like, and then it's the same with the acts of service. It's doing things for people. And you know, and they're both really nice characters because when I read the blurb, I was kind of worried that Candace was going to be kind of like stuck up. Like she moved to New York, she comes back and she has this like prom queen role. She's not.
And we
like
kind of so nice. Get a little piece of her in Take It or Leave It.
Well, but we didn't. Yeah. It was more of them complaining about her being
home. Well, she was wearing high heels and like white pants or something.
Yeah, when she first comes in. And so I had that kind of impression, but she is not. And like, it's like, I love them both, but like, the town has done Mark wrong, and I'm still mad about it. But anyway, I love him. The book comes out December 17th, so.
Okay. I'm really excited for that one.
Maybe I have to email Lainey. I have some time this week. Anyway.
I don't know if I'm okay with the town doing him wrong, because I really like that town.
It's more a certain group of the town, so.
Oh, is it?
Okay, Leah, what's your book of the week?
Not good in the first book, though, right? The group of
yeah
Okay. Well, that's okay. That's okay then.
Bitches be bitches. Like anyway, the plastics. Leah, what's your book of the week?
My book of the week is Role Playing by Kathy Yardley. I've had a rough week reading, but that one, it is living rent free in my life and probably will for a long time.
Same.
I already talked about it, but you should also watch our Sip and Discuss on it because those two characters were fantastic.
And apparently, according to the author, it was the best review of her book she's ever listened or read or heard. I don't know.
I mean, we did gush.
We did gush quite a
incessantly
bit.
Incessantly about how much we liked it.
So I'm trying to sprinkle in some Christmas novellas to go along with all of my other chaos of life. And so Friday night, I read The Thief Who Saved Christmas by Angela R. Casella, right? Casella?
Casella, yeah. She was a new-to-me author this year also, and she's a sweetheart.
Yes. A delightful holiday rom-com featuring a quirky small-town inn. Annabelle, she has 107 Santa ornaments sitting on the check-in desk of the inn. And our hero is a life-size hot Santa named Ryan Reynolds. And reverse grumpy sunshine, she hates Christmas and he is just in it. He's a bad boy with a heart of gold, and he falls first romance with a heroine who embraces her autism and a hero bringing he's just very honest, and he accepts her honesty and how she views the world, and he doesn't ever judge her. Like, he's just like, okay, if that's what you want to do, let's do that. And there's just like charm and holiday cheer, but the book's not very long. But when I tell you, it gives you the stakes, like piles of stakes, like tent city amount of stakes in this book. Like,
she writes a good book.
And come on, hot Santa named Ryan Reynolds. Like, every time I read it in the book, I just giggled.
But if she does neurospicy well, like when an author gets a neurospicy correct, I just love it.
Yeah. But she hates she counts the Santas. There's 107 of them. Let me just say, she does not love
any of them. I would totally mess with her and add and take away, just, you know.
People do. Anyway.
She's a girl child.
Okay, so that's my book of the week. Patreon update. So if you didn't read the announcement, the swag packs are now being mailed out bi-monthly. I think that's correct, right? So you'll get one swag pack for 2 months worth of membership. So swag packs for December are sponsored by author Delta James and Mary Carr, and they will go out in January with the January swag packs. We had to make some adjustments. I didn't want to increase the cost of the tiers, but shipping rates keep going up, and it just was starting to get pricey. And we use our Patreon. It pays for the software we use. Like, if you join us on Zooms and book club and stuff like that, pays for that. It pays for our website. So if you're enjoying this, please consider joining our Patreon and helping us out over there. Make sure you are back here Wednesday for our discussion of the Netflix original Merry Gentlemen. I have thoughts on Chad Michael Murray's hair and the credit it deserved. Anyway, so that's what we're talking about this Wednesday. For a list of books talked about this week, please visit our On the Shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can find a current list of books for our upcoming Wednesday episodes on our website. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Share it with your friends. Your support helps bring us more exciting content to you every week. Something like that. We bring you exciting content every week. Right?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Sure we do.
We're back here Wednesday, and then we'll be back here on Sunday. So until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance.
If
you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.